Metallic shapes and letters over a misty blue background. These spell out the name Alliance, a registered trademark. The single word prescience over a bluey-grey background. A crossed fingers logo. UK Film Council awarding funds from the National Lottery. More letters and metallic cupped leaves. These form a garland either side of the words Ealing Studios. Ealing Studios, Alliance Films and the UK Film Council present A Fragile Film. An eye is highlighted on the screen, in association with Aramid Entertainment and Prescience. Ben Barnes. A tear falls from the eye. Colin Firth. Dorian Gray. A young man with dark hair, a smooth face with full lips and a dimple on his chin, wears a white shirt and a pale yellow waistcoat. He glances up, then raises a pointed piece of glass and brings it down. Blood spurts from what he stabbed. It splatters his face, neck, and shirt. Picking up a yellow scarf, the young man slowly takes it up to his face and wipes it. He looks up. The young man sits in a carriage and looks at a trunk dripping blood. A policeman with a cape walks away from the carriage. The young man stands beside the trunk on a jetty. He topples it into the water below. He watches as the trunk sinks below the surface. One year earlier, a white trunk with the initials DG on it is on a porter's trolley at a railway station. The man, who was covered in blood, gawps around the concourse. Dressed soberly in a dark suit, shirt and tie, and with a flat cap over his long hair, he follows the porter. Stopped by urchins, his pocket is picked. He grins at a woman with rouged cheeks as she passes. He looks lost, then follows a hansom cab along the street. He crosses the street towards a group of young men on a corner.
Mr. Gray,
welcome to London, sir.
He's met by a tall man in a heavy coat and a bowler hat. The man has a thick moustache. He ushers Mr. Gray away from the young man and into an open coach. The young Mr. Gray grins as the coach moves off. The rooftops of Victorian London, the Thames flows through the city. On the far bank, large chimneys spew out smoke. The open coach moves steadily behind its two black horses. Two coachmen ride up front. They pull up at the curb by a townhouse with two stories and an attic floor above.
And here we are, sir. Welcome home.
Inside the house, the man opens a set of double doors.
I hope you'll find everything to your liking, sir.
Nothing's changed since I was a boy.
A maid walks past. Mr. Gray steps further into the room. Its walls are panelled with dark wood. Beside a staircase, armchairs are set before a grand fireplace, above which a portrait is hung. Mr. Gray studies the portrait of a grey-haired austere man.
I'm sorry for your loss, sir. May I prepare some tea?
Thank you, Victor.
Victor turns and walks away with one hand behind his back. The young man steps past a pillar and glances upwards. The first floor has a balustrade around the landing. A second maid is cleaning it. He makes his way up to the first floor. He stops in front of a piece of furniture covered with a sheet. He lifts the sheet to reveal a grand piano. Standing, he reaches out his left hand to the keyboard. He sits playing on a platform in front of an audience. As he plays, a member of the audience sketches him in charcoal. After the recital...
And I've no doubt London will hold many new friends and adventures for you.
I hope so. So do I.
Oh, this is somebody you simply must meet. This is one of our finest artists, Basil Hallward.
Yeah, the please, a humble student of beauty.
The two men lock eyes. Basil shows his sketch to Lady Agatha, Lady Radley and Gladys Allenby. Bigger versions of the sketch are pinned either side of an ink sketch. At least half a dozen others are pinned up. Basil, who has a water carafe and a glass of absinthe beside him, with a cube of sugar and a spoon over it, is painting a picture of his favourite subject, who stands before him in front of a drape and a patterned background. Basil carefully mixes the paints on his palette and delicately draws the brush over a canvas.
Basil?
Hmm?
I've been in London 2 weeks now, and the only people I've met are Agatha's charitable group.
Well, you met me?
Of course.
Basil glimpses scars of the young man's back.
I didn't mean...
These parties are terribly dull, Dorian. You won't be missing anything.
I'm sure you're right. Just thought it might be fun.
Dorian Gray, who's dressing behind drapes, glances across at Basil and grins. In full evening dress, Basil leads a bashful Dorian into a private soiree. An elderly man with mutton chop whiskers spots Dorian.
Oh, dear me, now. Shabby. Wife, drink.
Basil fixes Dorian's buttonhole and stares at him.
Well, offer you some drinks.
Find a good husband who knows how to behave to a woman.
The only way to behave to a woman is to make love to her if she's pretty and to someone else if she's plain.
Would you excuse me?
The speaker, a man with a beard, walks away from his group. He approaches Dorian.
Cigarette?
No, thank you.
I find a cigarette the perfect pleasure. It is exquisite and leaves one unsatisfied.
He lights a cigarette and drops his match on the floor. Dorian ignores him, then turns to see him staring.
You're Kelso's grandson.
Yes. Did you know him?
Met him once. It was enough to give a cheer last month when he rasped his last sour breath. One assumes you inherited the withered old goat's estate. Being a little orphan isn't all bad. An earnest young man with a beautiful nature, according to Agatha. I pictured some freckled country oaf in ghastly dress. I see I was only half right.
Dorian touches his floppy bow tie.
It could be worse. Gladys Allenby's been dressed for her 14th birthday ever since her 40th. And if Radley spent a little less time in church and a little more at his tailor's, he might not so resemble a badly bound hymn book. Are you sure you won't take a cigarette? I get them directly from Cairo.
Basil returns.
I see you've met our charming host. Just pay no attention to anything he tells you.
How rude. Henry Wooden. Victoria, my wife. My aunt, alas, you know.
Oh, I'm so glad you've met you. Why learn some manners from this boy? Harry, I found some more guests for you to insult.
I knew I kept it for something. I do hope our paths cross again, Mr. Gray.
He lights Dorian's cigarette.
Thank you for the cigarette.
An acquired taste.
No, it's actually quite pleasant.
I meant Harry.
some people I want you to meet.
At home, Dorian picks a white flower from a vase, trims the leaves from the stalk and takes it to his buttonhole. He hears noises and sees shadows thrown down from the attic. He lays down the flower and sets off up the spiral staircase, which rises from the ground floor towards the attic. On the landing, he glances up a gloomy, narrow staircase with plaster peeling from the walls. With slow, measured steps, he walks up the stairs towards the attic. Its state of decoration is in sharp contrast to the opulence of the first two floors. He enters a tatty hallway lit by gas lamps. He turns a noisy one off. Dorian moves to a closed door and reaches out his hand. Black and white grainy images of a little boy. Dorian. On hearing the door opening, the little boy scuttles into a corner. Dorian pushes the door open. Images of the little boy, his eyes gaping. Dorian looks into the attic room. He removes a board nailed to a window frame. That releases a bird trapped behind it. There are wooden crates and a full-length mirror. No one else is in the room. Dorian treads on a piece broken off the mirror, splitting it in two. He picks them up and carefully fits them into place, jigsaw fashion. He stares at his grotesque reflection in the broken mirror. With Basil...
Aren't you tired of looking at me yet? Certainly not. The more I look, the more I see.
A touch of blue paint on the palette. Dorian's pale, perfectly formed lips, his dark, alluring eyes. Basil squeezes brown paint onto the palette. He daubs different colours onto the canvas and touches up Dorian's lips. A line of white goes in the eye.
It must be nearly finished, man. It isn't the Sistine Chapel.
Do you remember when I told you that you could sit in if you were quiet?
I want to see it.
No, don't.
He won't even let me have a peek.
Harry Wooden moves towards Dorian.
Agatha tells me your father was also an artist.
Only so.
Kelso must have been delighted. His daughter falling for some penniless painter. No wonder they eloped.
Well, I never knew my parents.
Of course, typhus is so awful. Your poor mother carried off in childbirth.
Do you take such interest in everyone you meet?
Not everyone I meet is so interesting.
Henry, why don't you go for a stroll while I just work up the background?
You don't need Dorian for that. Let's both take a break.
Now, perhaps we should all get some fresh air.
Yes, and I know just the place.
Harry offers Dorian a cigarette, which he takes. Harry grins. It's night. A carriage is driven along a street by a high wall, above the wall, grand buildings. Harry leads the others through grubby streets. Dorian is distracted by a yell. A child's in a bath.
Come on, Dorian.
Sorry.
You see why Agatha's so keen to help Whitechapel?
Huh. Don't you think we should at least try to make a difference?
I've no desire to change anything in England, except the weather.
Harry and Dorian remove their hats as they go through an arch. They enter a packed gin shop.
Welcome to my little Hellfire Club.
Dorian gazes in amazement. They're brought two clear drinks.
In one.
No, don't.
Dorian tries to copy Harry.
Barkeeper. Again.
A young woman.
I say you and the handsome young man stuff me double.
No, thank you. But we nonetheless wish you Godspeed on your evening's quest for romance.
Little Wyvern, my dear.
A woman sits on a table, her legs spread open.
Don't worry. He's a doctor.
Dorian looks embarrassed.
There's no shame in pleasure, Mr. Gray. You see, man just wants to be happy. But society wants him to be good. And when he's good, man is rarely happy. But when he's happy, he's always good.
Dorian glimpses a couple having sex.
You want to be good, don't you, Mr. Gray? And happy.
Isn't there a price to pay for that sort of business?
Oh, she's quite affordable.
But what I was asking was about the effect on
what?
Well, on one's soul.
One's soul. This is my church.
He gulps down his drink.
With this dram, right now, I nail my soul to the devil's altar.
You'll never meet a more eloquent philosopher of pure folly. Come on. It's time we showed you what we've made.
Really? Boy hasn't finished his gin. Go and fiddle with your background. I'll be along shortly.
Harry has poured Dorian another drink.
Your picture awaits you, Dorian.
Basil puts on his white hat, glances back at Dorian and leaves. Dorian spots a pretty young woman across the room.
Perhaps you should go and speak to her.
I didn't realise she...
Don't be timid. Go.
I wouldn't know where...
See, I envy you.
Me?
Everything is possible for you because you have the only two things worth having. Youth and beauty.
Dorian turns towards the woman.
Moment's lost.
Dorian watches her leave with an elder man with a moustache.
That was probably her husband.
Yes, very sensible. People die of common sense, Dorian. One lost moment at a time. Life is a moment. There's no hereafter.
Their eyes are locked together.
So make it burn, always, with the hardest flame.
A steely resolve seems to form in Dorian's gaze. The gaze becomes that of the face in the portrait.
Well, Basil, it's quite the best thing you've done. You'll be the talk of the town. Both of you.
Dorian stares at the painting.
Speak up, boy. It'll hurt his feelings.
Is that really how I look? It's just so... lifelike.
Better than life.
Harry walks up beside Basil in front of the portrait.
You'll always look like that. You, Mr. Gray, I'm afraid, will not. In time, Mother Nature will come a very poor second to Father Basil.
Some things are more precious because they don't last.
Poppycock. We wither and scar because the gods are cruel and hateful.
Well, perhaps I should nail my soul to the devil's altar.
You remain as you are. Fair trade.
How about another gin instead?
All that hocus-pocus, endless conjurations, books bound in infant skin, tentacles of fire, drinking the blood of virgins. Dorian wouldn't really barter his soul.
Dorian strokes the portrait's face.
Dorian.
Dorian turns to Harry, who sees the two faces side by side.
Would you?
Yes.
The portrait stares with a cool, steely gaze. At Dorian's home, his picture above the fireplace is unveiled.
Oh, you really have captured something quite exquisite, Basil.
I've never known a subject so unaffected. The brush just seemed to dance, and I just painted what I saw.
Kelso would turn in his grave.
His grandfather's portrait is across the hall.
He didn't care to look at me. Blame me for my mother. For her death.
There are no limits to the ugliness of old men.
Yes. And his eyes. Almost a match for the original.
I'm afraid you're going to have to get used to being looked at.
Well, it's a fine painting.
I don't mean the painting.
Mr. Gray, if you please.
A photograph is snapped of Dorian, Harry and Basil in front of the picture. That evening...
That went rather well, didn't it?
A triumph, Mr. Gray. First of many.
Victor, wearing white gloves, steps across to a sofa while Dorian picks up a cigarette.
May I say, sir... Your mother will be very proud to see you today.
They stare at each other.
Shall I draw your bath?
Rather early.
Do we have any gin?
I believe not, son.
Then perhaps you might summon me a hansom.
A hansom cab pulled by a grey drives to Whitechapel. Dorian strolls through the grubby streets towards the gin shop. A boy leans over a man on the street.
I don't poke at him. Check his pockets.
Wait.
Yes?
What, your pistol, sir?
Hello, handsome.
Dorian backs away from the pimp's dog. Dorian is lost. He stops in front of the Theatre Royale, where Hamlet is playing.
Have a box, my lord. Just a bob. You've only missed a little.
He recognises the leading lady on the poster.
This young lady?
Miss Sybil Vane, my lord, in the role of Ophelia.
See that noble and most sovereign reason, like sweet bells jangled out of tune and harsh. That unmatched form and feature of glowing youth, blasted with ecstasy.
Inside the theatre, he watches her, enraptured. In her dressing room...
May I present the Theatre Royale's Miss Sybil Vane, my lord.
The manager leaves. Sybil is the girl he saw at the gin shop. She's pretty, with long, auburn hair.
I'm not really a lord. Don't know why he keeps saying that.
We don't get many gentlemen in the theatre.
Really? Well, then I shall recommend it to them.
The girl sits at her dressing table and looks in the mirror.
May I ask what brings you to my dressing room?
Well, I just happened to be passing the theatre and... Well, you see, I was in the gin shop.
I know.
You remember? Well, a friend took me there for the first time and... Well, I say the first time, of course, I have... Well, I wanted to say hello, but then you left with...
With Jim?
Yes. Quite. Jim.
My brother.
Brother?
Hmm.
Oh, well, that's splendid.
He grins broadly. She turns away, but sneaks a look at him in the mirror.
Sorry, it was wrong of me to... Please forgive my intrusion, Miss Vane.
Wait! There's something you haven't told me.
Dorian at the dressing room door stops and turns round.
Yes, of course. I do beg your pardon.
She smiles at his obvious embarrassment.
Ophelia is a most challenging role, and your performance this evening was impeccable. In fact, extraordinary. In fact, you are extraordinary. And when I saw you on the stage, and even more so now I stand before you, I am awestruck and humbled by your radiance.
I meant your name. You didn't tell me your name.
Day. The open carriage which picked Dorian up at the railway station sits by the side of a lake in Parkland. Sybil wanders towards the lake and bends to pick a flower. Behind her, Dorian sits at a table while Victor and a maid attend to him. In a pale dress and long blue ribbon in her hair, Sybil returns to him.
So, how many other girls do you bring here?
Hundreds. Thousands.
You must be courting dozens, at least.
No.
You can tell me the truth.
There's only you.
She coyly brushes back her hair with her hand.
There's only you.
She smiles and offers him the flower she picked.
So tell me, what are your actual relations with this young thing?
Fraction of respect, ma'am.
It's not like that. Sybil's sacred.
It's only the sacred things that are worth touching. People nowadays fear their passions.
Well, I don't.
Of course you do. We're taught terror from the nursery. Terror of God, or even worse, of scandal. We're taught to spend our entire lives cowering in self-denial. The truth, Mr. Grey, is that every impulse we strangle only poisons us.
You'll make him wish he'd never mentioned the girl.
Voilà, monsieur.
A fitting.
Something missing.
Harry hands over a cigarette case with Dorian's name inscribed on it.
Thank you, Harry. I took the liberty of filling it with my blend.
Basil smiles as he watches Dorian in the pinned-up jacket pose with a cigarette. Another time, Sybil holds up a new dress.
Oh, Dorian. It's beautiful.
I just thought it would suit you.
At Dorian's house, he plays the piano. Sybil's eyes move onto his picture as she looks out over the balustrade. She runs her fingers gently over the piano. Dorian holds her head and leans in to kiss her.
I should be going. Jim will worry.
Of course.
She walks past him.
Or we could. I mean, you could stay here with me. We shouldn't be afraid of our feelings, Sid.
It's just, I've seen other girls. They give themselves, and then I've seen what becomes of them.
I love you. Forgive me, I didn't mean.
In his room, she rushes over to him and kisses him.
You're all I ever wanted in the world.
He studies her face for a moment, then kisses her. She pushes his shirt off his shoulders. She lies on her back, naked on his bed. He moves on top of her and stares at her. A silk dress moves in water. Sybil and Dorian lie asleep in bed. The boy in the attic hears the door. He cowers as the door opens and Kelso stands there with a cane. The old man beats the boy with his cane. Dorian wakes. He cuts his hand on a lamp.
You might have a little scar there.
Well, it won't be the first. We're back.
She leans him forward and takes a look at his back.
What?
In a mirror, he sees his back. The scars Basil glimpsed have gone.
You're perfect.
A gathering at Henry's.
Engaged?
It's wonderful, isn't it?
I wanted you all to be the first to know.
Congratulations, Dorian.
Thank you.
May I ask how you came to propose marriage?
Well, I suppose I didn't really make a formal proposal. I told her that I loved her, and she said it was her dream come true to be my wife.
Women are wonderfully practical.
Will you all come and see her perform tonight?
I'm afraid I have an engagement.
Embarrassed looks all round.
And where do you at the Burdens?
Dorian shifts awkwardly. Basil looks down.
Tell Burton I'll see him tomorrow. Why don't you hail us a hansom, Dorian? I love acting.
Goodbye, ladies.
So much more real than life.
Hope you're pleased with yourself.
Every experience is of value. And marriage is certainly an experience.
Nobody is amused at this time, Henry.
I'll talk to him.
In the cab.
I got the sense the others don't quite approve. Especially Basil.
Perhaps Basil should be a little more fearless with his own feelings. I thought we might make a little stop en route to the theatre. I do have news. It seems my wife is with child.
Oh, congratulations.
Don't be absurd. It's the beginning of the end. So, indulge me.
They enter the Casino de Venise.
Ah, Harry.
Alan.
Finally tootling at last, I see.
Alan's the doctor from the gin shop.
Come along, ladies.
Scantily clad women adorn the place. One stands in a large oyster shell.
How delightful. Hello.
Harry and Dorian are directed to sofas.
Drink up. Won't be long before you're anchored to the perambulator.
I don't think so.
Our friend is to marry.
Oh, but we haven't had a chance to win your heart.
Oh, well. Farewell to youth.
Both men drink. The Oriental woman beside Dorian offers him an opium pipe.
No.
Dorian looks uncomfortable. He sees a woman leading a man upstairs. He also sees the woman beside Harry stroking his crotch.
Does Victoria know you come here?
My dear boy, the one charm of marriage is that it makes a life of deception absolutely necessary.
He spots Lord Radley with a half-dressed woman.
Well, perhaps I have a stronger conscience.
Conscience is just a polite term for cowardice.
Harry takes the pipe and sucks on it.
No civilized man regrets a pleasure.
Harry grins and proffers the pipe to Dorian, who leans forward and reaches out for it. Holding it with both hands, one still bandaged, he puffs on it.
You see? The only way to get rid of a temptation is to yield to it.
Dorian puffs out the smoke. He blinks and looks a little woozy. Harry smiles as he watches Dorian slip to his left before straightening himself up. Dorian stares.
Be searching always for new sensations, Dorian.
The woman beside Dorian turns his face towards her.
Come upstairs.
Forbid yourself nothings.
Come.
Nobody at all need know.
Come with me.
With a couple of glances back at Harry, Dorian allows himself to be led away. Hands unbutton his shirt. Three women undress him and stroke him. They lay him down. Two women kiss. A woman in a basque with her breasts exposed straddles Dorian on a bed. He looks up at her, then she kisses him. Other women lie beside them. At the Theatre Royal.
The pleasure is all mine. That's so much about you.
And are you? Did you enjoy the show? I couldn't see you in the audience.
I'm afraid we ran a little late.
Oh, where were you?
At the club. Truth is, my dear, we were celebrating your wonderful news. Very many congratulations.
And Harry is to be a father.
How wonderful.
Indeed. In one.
I'm sure you're eager to start a family yourself.
Very much.
Dorian sputters into the cap from which he's drinking.
Well, not quite yet.
Good night.
Good night, Charlie.
Night.
Dorian looks at Sybil.
We're a little young, don't you think?
Are we?
Dorian squirms.
Perhaps I should take my leave. Good night.
Evening.
See you tomorrow, Harry.
I'm sure.
Harry glances back at Dorian, sets down his cup and leaves the theatre. Sybil and Dorian stand in front of the stage.
Don't think we need to rush, that's all.
She stops him banging a drum.
You sound different.
Not at all.
Were you at the club all night?
Yes.
He's a better liar than you.
He turns to her.
What? I was just saying everything is so soon.
I gave myself to you.
Sybil, please.
I thought you loved me.
And I do.
Don't make me your wife, it's not one of your whores.
She glares defiantly at him.
I think perhaps I ought to go.
Don't let him do this, Dorian.
He stops and stares at her.
This has nothing to do with Harry.
You said you loved
and
me.
And I do, I do!
Dorian, please! Please, Dorian! Please, I love you.
Her eyes are moist with unshed tears. Dorian turns and strides out of the theatre. Harry sits in the balcony smoking a cigarette and watching. At home, Dorian stubs out a cigarette. He goes to sip a drink when a fly bothers him. He swaps at it with his hand, but misses. He tries to follow it with his eyes. until he spots something. He gazes at the picture on the wall. The fly walks across the forehead, down to the left eye. Dorian climbs a ladder and, carrying a lamp, studies the painting. Dorian reaches out a hand, and the insect flies away. But a tear rolls down his face in the picture. He touches the tear and rubs his fingers. Day. Radley glances up as Harry leads Dorian into a gallery.
Dorian! Tell me, how was last night's performance?
Dorian falters. Agatha glances across to her nephew. Harry's face is impassive.
I'm sorry.
She pats his shoulder. Basil comes up.
Have a drink. I can introduce you to the artist later if you'd like.
Never marry Mr. Gray. It's the only way to keep all one's illusions.
Victoria glares at her husband and goes.
Chin up, dear boy. You have a face like a slapped Nancy. You'll love again. And again. Do you have a cigarette?
Of course.
Harry takes Dorian's cigarette case from his hands and holds it up. The lid acts as a mirror and reflects a group of young women.
Don't fear it, Dorian. The world is yours. For a season.
Dorian turns his head to look at the women across a balcony. They all seem to have their eyes on him. Dorian's gaze is fixed and long. Evening at home.
Could you fetch us a bottle of the, anything?
What's the matter?
You've a visitor, sir. A Mr. Vane. He seems disturbed.
We'll wait in the library.
Victor, how about that bottle?
Alan gestures with a bottle to Victor and enters the library with a trio of women. Harry allows Victor to go in ahead of him and glances down the hall to Dorian first. Dorian stands in the hallway and stares at the back of Sybil's brother. Dorian opens one of the glass-paned doors into the drawing room where Jim Vane stands in front of the fire. Dorian walks past a fluted wooden column and a fern plant. He stops.
Not worth the pleasure, Jim.
Jim turns, puts a hand in his pocket, and stares at Dorian.
Can I get you something to drink?
I don't want this in my house.
Jim holds the dress Dorian bought.
What happened with Sybil was very unfortunate. But this was a gift, and she really should...
Dorian stares at it.
It's filthy.
She was wearing it when they pulled her from the river.
Jim's face is solemn.
Why on earth was she...
An image of Sybil floating in the river. Dorian's face crumples.
She can't. She can't.
Dorian flinches as Jim steps towards him.
I wanted you to know. She loved you. She was going to have your child. And you killed her.
He brushes past Dorian.
Jim.
He touches Jim's shoulder. Jim turns and grabs Dorian by the neck. He pushes him against the column. His hands are on Dorian's throat. Jim forces him to the ground. Dorian begins to lose consciousness. Alan has hit Jim with a bottle.
All right, let me help you up.
Yes. Sybil's dead.
Come.
No. Good night, ladies. Right.
Dorian clutches the dress.
Get up. Can't have maniacs threatening decent people in the wrong homes. Alan treats a number of such deranged cases at Broadmoor. Just until he settles down. I feel confident that any inquest into this unfortunate business will find no connection whatsoever with Mr. Gray.
Jim, pinned between two constables, glares at Dorian. Jim's led down the hall. Victor closes the drawing room doors. Dorian, his brow furrowed and his face wet with tears, smokes as he still holds on to Sybil's dress. images of Sybil underwater and slowly rising to the surface.
This wasn't your fault, Dorian.
Kelso said I was deaf.
Well, he was wrong.
Sorry, Harry.
You're not making sense.
The boy Dorian being beaten.
Call me, Harry. I turned all love into death.
Kelso was a bitter ruin of a man, and he's dead. What's past is past. Experience makes us strong, Dorian. And you need to see this episode for what it really is. An extraordinary experience.
It can't be so heartless.
It isn't heartless, it's finding a perspective. Most like the strength to rise above life's suffering. To rule one's emotions. To savor them. It takes a man of will. Alan left this for you. Drink, doctor's orders.
Dorian takes the proffered glass and gulps from it.
I should be going.
He places a watch in Dorian's breast pocket.
I'll call in the morning.
Thank you, Harry.
Dorian goes to hug Harry, who pushes him gently back. He places his hand on Dorian's hair and upper arm.
You are a man of will, Dorian. I knew it from the first.
Harry walks out of the drawing room watched by Dorian, who stands in the middle of the room, the dress over an arm and the glass in his hand. He sips more, then twitches slightly before turning to his picture. Dorian sets down his glass on a small table and moves closer to the painting. As he studies the face, a ripple moves across its left cheek. His gaze moves down to the left hand. Where he'd cut his arm on the bedside lamp, there's now a cut on the painting. The cut's bleeding. Dorian peels the bandage from his injured hand. He stares at it. There's no cut and no scar. Dorian flexes his hand, returns his gaze to the picture, then looks again at his own unmarked hand. A maggot climbs out of the corner of the eye of the picture and falls to the floor in front of Dorian. He stamps on it. Day, Basil enters.
Dorian! I'm so, so sorry. Harry told me about poor Sybil, and if there's anything I can do, anything...
You're very kind. I'm actually just on my way to see Harry now. Are you coming to the Bradley's ball?
Basil sees an empty space above the fireplace.
Where's my picture?
Oh, the light was too strong in here.
The light was perfect. Where have you put it?
It's quite safe. Truth is, I don't want it on public show. Just too valuable.
Dorian, in white shirt and tails, pours drinks.
I could forgive the vagaries of grief if you actually seemed to be grieving.
I was stricken, but what's past is past. Every experience is of value. Drink.
Basil screws up his eyes.
You shouldn't believe every word Harry says. He doesn't.
Refusing the offered drink, Basil glares and walks out. Dorian sips from his glass. At the ball.
Isn't this all just ghastly? Bradley gloating with pitiful pride while his love-starved wife parades their daughter like a sow truffling her husband. And poor Celia. Trussed up in a doily for some chinless miscreant to eternally enslave. I suggest we raise a little hell.
Allow me to introduce myself.
I know who you are, Mr. Gray.
And allow me to offer my congratulations on your ravishing debut. Perhaps a small toast.
To what?
Intoxication.
Dorian downs his glass in one and nods to Celia. Harry watches as Celia gulps down her drink. Alone with her, Dorian pours drink from a decanter into her mouth. He kisses her chest and stomach. They are together in an embrace. Her mother approaches Harry and Basil.
Here she comes.
Celia? Celia?
Problem, Lady Radley.
My daughter. I can't find her. And nor can I find your Mr. Grey.
She looks harassed. Basil turns to her.
Perhaps they're in the garden. The arrangements are marvellous.
Might I hazard an alternative suggestion?
Lady Radley cocks her head. Harry's eyes flit upwards. She turns and looks upstairs. There are people standing on a first-floor landing. Lady Radley rushes up the stairs. Lady Radley enters a bedroom.
Celia!
Is something the matter?
Celia!
Dorian is fully dressed apart from the tails.
Where is my daughter, you beast?
I was just attending to my costume. Little Lord Radley's very fine. Burgundy was spilled on my shirt cuff.
He rubs the frilly cuff.
Oh, Mr. Grey, Lord Henry gave me to understand.
Mistake. Nobody at all need know.
Oh, you're too kind, Mr. Grey. Thank you.
Must be difficult. Party like this. Seeing your daughter come of age makes you long for your own youth.
He steps towards her. She nods.
Madam, forgive me, but you are exquisite.
Oh, Mr. Grey, this is most improper.
He places her hand on his crotch. He lifts her up. He undoes her underclothes and lays her on the bed. Downstairs, Harry glances at his pocket watch as he strolls back to join Basil. Basil glances upstairs. Both men finish the drinks. In the bedroom, Lady Radley dresses, adjusting a garter. Lady Radley stands, pats down her dress and stretches out a hand to Dorian, who sits toying with his cigarette case. He ignores her and she hurries away. He takes out a cigarette, rises, and nonchalantly tosses down the case. He lifts up the bedclothes. Celia is under the bed.
Now, where were we?
Dorian comes downstairs.
What are you grinning about, Grey?
I think Harry's just lost the wager.
Well, come on. Out with it. We're all gambling men here.
Just a little round of double or nothing.
Of course, a good gambler understands that there are limits.
There are no limits.
Basil's eyes flit from Dorian to Harry. Dorian in bed with different women. He licks the chest of one. Two kiss with him beside them. A half-open attic door. Dorian runs a knife blade flat along a woman's back, then cuts the straps of her petticoat. It's Gladys Allenby. He takes a woman from behind on a dark street and lies on top of another in bed. The face on the picture in the attic is covered in sores. Dorian strides out of the attic and locks the door. He removes the key, which is attached to a chain, and grinning, hangs it round his neck. A masked ball at Dorian's house. He spins and laughs. A character wearing a harlequin outfit hands Dorian a white flower. An acrobat performs a headstand on top of another acrobat. A singer and musicians perform on the first floor landing. Confetti falls on an exuberant Dorian. The harlequin pushes Agatha towards the host.
Dorian, this crush is your finest yet.
One has to do something to null the pain of age.
Do tell my husband not to be so disagreeable.
But I always agree with him.
Congratulations, Basil. I hear you have a new exhibition.
Yes, in Paris. Yes, in fact, I wanted to ask a question of you, Dorian. I'd like to make your portrait my principal piece.
Oh, yes, that picture, absolutely wonderful. Whatever became of it?
You know, I haven't seen it myself in some months. Dorian's very protective of it, aren't you?
Indeed I am. Very sorry, Basil, but it's just too precious. I won't have it out of the house.
Basil stares through his mask at Dorian, who stops in front of a blonde woman. He moves her mask to one side. It's Gladys. She turns and sees Lady Radley gazing at them. A library with couples embracing, one man stretched out between two clothed women and a lot of smoke in the air. Dorian is with two women when Basil comes in.
I beg your pardon. Did you want me?
Dorian walks with Basil.
That picture is my finest work, and it would be greatly appreciated.
Greatest gift that anyone could ever have given. In fact, I wish that I could tell you just how great.
But then it isn't so unreasonable to borrow it back a little while.
Not sure that I've ever fully expressed my gratitude.
Dorian's arm is draped over Basil's shoulder.
I hardly think that.
Dorian kisses Basil fully on the lips. Dorian moves his head back, then presses his lips again onto Basil's. There's no reaction from Basil. Dorian nuzzles Basil's neck. Basil stands seemingly unmoved. Dorian gazes at him, then Basil initiates a kiss. Dorian pushes Basil to his knees. Basil looks up at the younger man, who starts to unbutton his trousers. Dorian hauls his trousers down and sinks towards Basil. An African man in a white loose shirt dances. A woman has a yellow python coiled round her. Harry saunters past them. The male dancer removes his shirt. There's another dancer with him. One of them plucks a young woman from the audience and she dances with them. Dorian rejoins the louche party and dances with the woman, whom Harry watches him kiss. A young man joins them. Dorian strokes his hair and the young man kisses the woman. From the landing, Basil watches as the young man places the key round Dorian's neck on Dorian's mouth.
That's the key to your heart. Don't touch that. Ever.
Basil has seen Dorian push the young man back roughly and grip his hand.
He's young.
But he was never cruel till he met you.
Basil strides over to the young man.
That's mine.
Basil grabs the yellow scarf from the young man's neck and marches out without looking back at Dorian, who catches Harry's eye. Harry smiles. As the tempo of the party quickens, Dorian becomes more lost in it.
Oh, it's you.
The party is over.
Thought you'd gone home.
I just needed a walk.
I was just about to go to bed. Everyone's left.
I'm here to see you, not them.
Really?
Dorian finishes a drink and sets the glass down.
Wait.
They stop on the stairs. Dorian cocks his head.
I don't know where to begin.
How ominous.
Basil traipses up the stairs behind Dorian.
You terrified that poor boy tonight.
He seemed to recover.
Is that what you tell yourself about Celia Radley?
Look, I'm sorry about her misfortune, but do you really believe that I am to blame?
All innocence, Dorian turns to face Basil.
When I look at you, I find it impossible to imagine. But I know you're treating people poorly. Even me. When I ask you the small favor that you loan me my own picture.
Is that what this is about?
No, it's about a good deal more!
Dorian stares wide-eyed. Basil backs away and turns from Dorian.
Dorian.
He leans against the balustrade. Dorian steps up behind Basil and reaches out his hands towards Basil's shoulders. Basil spins round. The two men stare at each other, Dorian with a cold, steely gaze.
What happened to the Dorian Gray I painted?
You just don't understand. I will always be that Dorian.
They look into each other's eyes.
Can I trust you, Basil? Would you like to see where you can never exhibit that picture?
Dorian raises his eyebrows. Basil looks at him with alarm. Dorian walks away, then turns to Basil. Dorian and Basil are in the attic. Basil stares at the picture.
What's the matter? Don't you recognize me?
What have you... That thing. It isn't what...
Together we created something beautiful.
Dorian steps up beside Basil and smiles.
It's a miracle.
He moves to the other side of Basil.
Look at me.
Dorian turns Basil's head to face him.
Because of your painting, this will never age. Will never scar.
Dorian runs Basil's hand down his face.
Can you even imagine being able to do anything you please? Live out every whim and impulse while the world just sees you gleam.
This isn't you. I know this isn't you. We can stop it.
Basil, please, don't.
You see, this must be destroyed. Dorian, I want to help you. We'll find a priest or a spirit worker. There's good in your heart. I've seen it. You're not this devil.
A shard is missing from a cracked mirror in front of Dorian.
I'm a god.
Basil!
Dorian runs and stabs Basil in the neck with the shard from the mirror. Basil sinks to the floor, the shard sticking in his neck. Dorian backs away towards the mirror. There's blood on his right hand. He bends down and picks up a cloth which he wraps round his hand. Gasping for breath, Basil clutches at his neck. Dorian walks over to him and kneels down. He places his bandaged hand on the shard of mirror glass. He yanks it out of Basil. Dorian rolls Basil onto his back, straddles him, looks up, then plunges the shard into Basil's stomach. Blood spurts from the wounds all over Dorian as he stabs Basil maniacally. Dorian sits up and runs his bloodied hands through his hair. Blood's also on his shirt, waistcoat, face, neck and arms. Dorian reaches down and touches the dead man's chin. He pulls Basil's long yellow scarf from under him and, staring vacantly down at Basil, raises the scarf to his own bloodied face. He closes his eyes and buries his face in the scarf, itself sodden with blood. Dorian eventually takes the scarf down from his face. To his left is the picture, maggots all over its face wounds. It snarls. It's dark. A carriage drawn by two horses sits outside Dorian's house. He and another man try to hoist a trunk into the carriage. A beat constable sees them.
Good evening.
The bearded constable comes up to Dorian.
Need some help, sir?
Dorian pauses for a moment.
How kind.
The constable takes over from Dorian. He shoves the trunk, the one with DG on it, inside the carriage. He doesn't see the blood dripping from it.
Mind how you go, sir. On you go.
He shuts the door with Dorian inside and walks away. Dorian is left by the riverside. He stands beside the trunk. He hauls the trunk down under a jetty and undoes the fastenings and opens its lid. Dorian bends down and tips the trunk onto its side. He empties out a bloody bag and bits of limbs. A leg falls back into the trunk. Dorian tosses it into the river. He places stones into the trunk and from the jetty above drops it into the river. Day, Dorian is at Agatha's along with the Radleys and Gladys. They take tea. He sips his tea, then glances at Gladys to his left. She has a red silk corsage on her cleavage. He recalls wearing a red blindfold and being involved in a menage a quatre with two women and a young man. Dorian bites into a scone with bright strawberry jam on cream. A woman being tattooed bleeds with Dorian lying under her. At tea, more jam is dropped onto the cream. Dorian watches it being pressed down. He smokes and watches pain being inflicted. From the gentility of the tea party with the three mature ladies, to the brutality of Dorian being punched and whipped and covered in blood. Dorian sits cross-legged in the attic, a syringe in front of him, the end of a tourniquet in his mouth. Wearing Basil's blood-spattered yellow scarf, he reaches up and pulls down a cover to reveal part of the ever-changing picture with blood on its sleeve. Day, in a grey suit and hat with a white shirt and dark tie, Dorian strolls briskly in town.
Good day, Lady Victoria. I was about to take Harry for lunch at Scott's. Why don't you join us?
Oh, Dorian. You haven't heard. We found Basil's body in the river.
Dorian, having taken his hat off, stares at Victoria. He reads at Basil's funeral.
Thou art slave to fate, chance, kings and desperate men. And dost with poison, war and sickness dwell. Poppies or charms can make us sleep as well, and better than thy stroke. Why swell'st thou then? One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die.
The reading finished, Dorian closes the Bible. A coffin is lowered into the grave by four pallbearers. Dorian takes a yellow rose from his buttonhole with his gloved hand and drops it into the grave.
Farewell, dear Basil.
He walks with Harry.
I spoke to the police again this morning.
And have the buffoons managed to make a single inch of progress?
They're convinced it was some Shadwell renter. They think they'll catch him.
And so Basil's name will be dragged through the gutter.
I'm of a mind to take a trip, Harry. Maybe you should join me.
Where are you going?
Everywhere. I leave tomorrow.
With all this?
Someone once gave me some fine advice about taking a perspective. Come with me.
Harry looks wistfully at Dorian.
The child is imminent. Tell me everything.
Harry smiles. Dorian dons his top hat.
I was due.
Dorian marches away. Harry watches as he passes under an archway in the cemetery and heads off into the distance. A young girl runs on a bed of autumn leaves. Harry walks to a window and looks out at her. She glances up, then bends down, picks up a handful of leaves, and tosses them in the air.
I have entered the tombs of dead nations, ridden with our last savage tribes.
I feel the brilliance of every moment, the splendour of existence and its awful.
Keen as the edge of a blade, this desperate will to see, yet touch and see.
There is disease, body.
You taught me that life must burn with a hard flame. Its light does not blind me, nor its heat sear me. I am the flame, Harry. I am the flame.
Harry sits in front of a rolling fire and reads Dorian's letters. Night. An army truck drives along Dorian's street with soldiers sitting in the back. A taxi trundles along it, passing another motorized vehicle. The taxi, a Fiat, pulls up, and its passenger gets out. The passenger, a man with long dark hair and wearing a long cape, crosses the road towards the house. He inserts a key into a barred gate in front of the attic door and unlocks it. He spins it open, then unlocks the door itself and walks in. At Harry's, a record spins on a horn phonogram in a large drawing room.
The great triumph of matter over mind.
Dorian, looking exactly the same, steps in.
Well, here I am.
Everyone turns to him. They're all considerably older than they were when he last saw them. The mouths of several fall on seeing him. Dorian's face is impassive as he walks towards the gathering. He passes Gladys, who stands beside a young man, her hand on his jacket collar. He approaches Agatha, who, with a little help, rises to her feet, and her eyes fixed on him, leans on a walking stick.
Dorian, you look so...
Agatha's hair is grey and her thin face lined and weary. Even Harry has grey streaks in his hair and beard.
He looks magnificent.
We have heard such tales.
I'm afraid they're all absolutely and entirely true.
Agatha's smile fades.
Welcome back. Some champagne?
Yes. Agatha, smiling, joins her nephew. Dorian is smoking alone in a wood-panelled room when Harry comes in.
Aha. My missing guest of honour.
I'm coming.
Dorian sits with his back to Harry and continues smoking.
I was sorry for your loss.
You know, I kept hearing this phrase. Natural causes. Nature has a great deal to answer for. She was so looking forward to the life of a divorcee. And poor old Basil.
If we paid the police by results, we'd save the treasury thousands.
You know, when your letters stopped coming, I feared the worst. But here you are. So never mind the country estate.
Tell me,
why are you really back?
I'm tired.
You don't look it. You have no right to melancholy. Your life is exquisite. You've drunk deeply of everything and it hasn't left a fleck on you.
Do you remember when I first came to London? I felt so...
Those were the great days. Dorian, it's quite clear why you've lost your passion for life. You've been away from me for too long. We must go out. Take on the town as we used to.
They both smile. Dorian rises.
I've missed you, Harry.
Must ask you, though.
Dorian turns and his brow furrows slightly.
What is your secret?
If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Dorian glances at a cigarette case.
You still have it, I see.
From Cairo.
Where else?
Harry takes a cigarette and they stroll out of the room. A young lady is fiddling with a camera.
Smile.
They both stand still. The young woman strides up with her hand extended to Dorian.
Emily.
They shake hands. She nods.
May I?
He opens the case and offers her a cigarette.
Hope I'm not interrupting your reminiscence.
The one charm of the past is that it's the past.
Hmm. Hope you're not also a dreary old cynic.
What is there to believe in?
He lights the cigarettes.
Our developments.
All I see is decay.
Well, then religion.
Fashionable substitute for belief.
Art.
A malady.
Love.
An illusion.
Bravo.
Well, you both cut the world to pieces, don't you? Thank you for the cigarette.
Emily walks away.
Unusual woman.
She ought to be. She's my daughter.
Dorian watches Harry move away, then grins. Whitechapel. In a gin shop, a man sits on a crate. A one-legged man uses crutches. A man lies on a bed. Various Malayan people in long garments wander around. Dorian is leaning against a counter, smoking a long pipe. As he puffs, he sees images of the picture. A mouth of rotting teeth. Maggots around mouth and eyes. He reels, straightens up, and staggers away.
Dorian.
A once lovely woman.
Dorian, it's you.
He bursts out of the den. In the street, he comes upon a burning effigy. A bearded man approaches Dorian, who pushes him away. He punches the man to the ground and kicks him while he's down. Dorian glances up and spots something. He stumbles forward. The bonfire is burning outside the old Theatre Royal. He studies its tattered billboards. Tears well in his eyes. He catches a glimpse of Sybil's face poking out from behind notices. In this today, public meeting, soup kitchen. He stands by her grave on the riverside. Snow falls. Wind blows his damp hair over his face. His eyes are wide and staring. He recalls their first kiss. Sybil at the lakeside in the park. The blue ribbon in her hair. She turns and he sees her transform from a beauty to a corpse. Dorian weeps and looks up at the sky. He glances down at the simple wooden cross and a rough patch of ground, then turns and walks through a narrow arch. A bearded figure rises from in front of the arch and starts to follow Dorian. It's Jim Vane. He tracks Dorian through dark streets, passing a Your Country Needs You poster. Dorian leans against a wall. He looks up when he hears a noise behind him. Jim ducks back into an alley. When he looks out again, Dorian has gone. Dorian stands on the street, looking up at the flame in a gas lamp. A cigarette in one hand, the case in the other, he sees a man pass through the arch behind him and go along the street. Jim pushes Dorian. Dorian falls to the ground.
Get up. Get up.
Jim has a gun. He pushes Dorian against a wall.
You. You. Dorian Gray.
Think you're mistaken?
I knew. No wonder you'd come back.
Wait, please.
So many years I've waited.
Wait. How many years?
No more.
How many years? Look at me. Look at my face.
He moves Dorian into the lamplight.
I'm barely 20, man.
Tears well in Jim Vane's eyes. He feels Dorian's face. Jim removes his soft cap.
I don't know this... this Dorian Gray.
I think so, you are not well.
I... hospital. Hurt me.
He still has hold of Dorian.
You tell him. You tell him I'm coming.
Jim releases Dorian from his grasp. Dorian bends down, picks up his hat and runs for it. Jim leans back against the wall and slides down it. Jim's head lolls to the left. He catches sight of the cigarette case on the ground. He stretches over and reads the name Dorian on it. Dorian leans against one of the columns in his house. He downs a gin.
A visitor, sir.
Dorian smiles and looks round to see Emily Wootton.
To what do I have the pleasure?
Thought you might like to join me for lunch.
She holds a blanket and a wicker basket.
I
made a picnic.
Yes, well, I'm afraid I'd rather stay at home today.
Emily shakes her head.
It's going to rain.
Tell me, Mr. Gray, must you always play the cynic?
They're in a bandstand.
Look up.
She has a camera.
See, I'd rather you didn't.
She did.
Oblige me, Mr. Gray.
You've been pursuing this delightful hobby for long?
No, it's a gift from my father. In return, he made me promise that I wouldn't chain myself to any more railings.
He stares blankly.
For suffrage, Mr. Gray. Well, don't you think that women should be given the vote?
I don't believe a woman should be given anything she can't wear in the evening.
What a loss to the front you are. Think of all those Germans that you could bayonet with your epigrams.
I do apologise if I offend.
Oh, no, you'll have to do rather better to offend me.
Then I humbly vow to redouble my efforts.
He puffs on his cigarette as she saunters around.
You know, I wonder if it's true what they say about you. That beneath all the charm, you're in fact quite heartless.
They say I'm charming.
They say that you devote your whole life to pleasure. Well, it's clearly to be recommended. I look as good as you in 25 years. I should be thoroughly happy.
I can assure you pleasure is very different from happiness.
She glances over at him.
I mean, some things are more precious because they don't last.
Mr. Gray, I believe I know your secret.
He looks down. She reaches out and takes the cigarette from between his fingers.
You do have a heart.
Those who go beneath the surface do so at their peril.
How terrifying.
Emily, a slim girl with high cheekbones and an impish smile, blows out smoke from his cigarette. Dorian drives Emily in his open-top Rolls-Royce with its silver lady mascot up to her father's house. He parks and is watched from an upstairs window as Emily climbs out. He follows her.
I may let you chauffeur me again, Mr. Gray.
He reaches in the back for a picnic basket and blanket.
So I'll see you at Tottenham Hall tonight.
He pecks her on the cheek.
Until then.
She walks round the front of the car and across the road, watched by her father. Dorian looks up and spots him. Harry nods and turns away. Dorian looks thoughtful. He gives a recital in aid of the Military Benevolent Fund. Gladys, Agatha and Emily are in the audience. Dorian grins broadly at them. There's a commotion as Lord Radley enters, spots his daughter Alice in the audience and grabs her by the arm.
Crawl the sewers before I let my flesh and blood near him. What kind of unholiness grants the face of a babe to such a man?
Come along. Come along, my dear.
Dorian looks anxiously round the hall. He wipes his hands on his trousers and starts to play again. He grimaces as he plays. He spots the dead Basil wearing the bloody scar from the audience. His own hands and the keyboard are covered in blood. It's dark and wet as he strides along a street with Emily.
You know, anyone would think you're ashamed to be seen with me. What happened in the hall?
I don't know what you mean.
You saw something.
You're mistaken.
Whom he does see lurking across the street is Jim Vane.
Mr. Gray.
It would be better when we were not seen together.
Better for whom?
Tongues may wag against you.
I don't care what they say.
He hurries her away from Jim.
You should. The truth is, I've done dreadful things. My life has been a monstrous corruption.
will be a price.
I won't let anyone hurt you.
She steps towards him and stares intensely at his mouth. He imagines pinning her to a door.
We should not meet again.
Dressed in a black hat and a long black coat, he turns away from her, walks through a gate in a metal fence, and marches down a road, a cane in his right hand. He collides with a stranger as he bustles along the road. He becomes aware of a man behind him. Dorian slows and turns, having drawn a sword from his cane. The man has joined a friend. He turns a corner and sees a rat and vermin catcher cart outside the house. Inside, he rushes up to the attic.
Good evening, sir. Mr. Harcourt here thinks there may be rats nesting in the attic. I haven't the key.
Get out of my house.
Harcourt picks up his ferrets and goes.
But Mr. Gray...
And you.
Victor lowers his gaze. Dorian goes to the locked, barred gate. Victor starts to walk away, stops and turns back.
With respect, sir. I've been with your family for 2 generations.
Your effects will follow.
His brow furrowed. Victor trudges wearily down the stairs. Dorian stands in front of the bars and stares through them. There are rats in the attic when Dorian, bare-chested, walks in and draws the sword from his cane. He raises his arm above his head, and like a matador in front of a bull, he aims to strike at the covered picture. Instead, he turns and punches the mirror. He kneels before the picture, the rear of which is a festering mess. Dorian is in a confessional box.
I want to be free. I want to be new. Clean. I want to be good. Please. Please, you have to help me.
If we repent, God is faithful and just. Confess your mortal sins.
The priest glances through the wire grill.
Confess your mortal
sins. This is not my true face.
The priest stares at Dorian.
If you could see my soul.
Child, only God may see our soul.
I have seen my soul. And I could show it to you. It's rotten. It's stench.
The priest turns his head away from Dorian, blinks and looks anxious. Dorian stares at him through the wire grill, then storms out. He strides over to his rolls. The canvas hood is up because of the rain. Dorian climbs inside. He settles down, then sees his cigarette case on the dashboard. Jim Vane, gun raised, hurries toward the rolls. Dorian jumps out of the far side with his cane. Dorian ducks as a second shot hits a mirror. As Jim comes round the back of the car, Dorian runs away from it. Dorian runs downstairs to a subway to Farringdon Station. The word Metropolitan is emblazoned around the walls. He runs into the subway, chased by Jim. His shadow is thrown on the white-tiled walls. As he races onto a platform, Jim is close behind. Dorian leaps onto the track. He approaches a Y junction. Dorian falls on one branch of the Y junction. Jim, struggling for breath, walks up and stands a short distance away. He raises the gun and steadies it with both hands.
Die!
A train comes down the other branch and hits Jim full on. Dorian reels back and sits on the rail. Dorian struggles to his feet and staggers over to where Jim lies on his back on a rail. Dorian places his coat over Jim and stares at the fallen man's wounds. Jim's face is covered in blood, as is the rail under him. Dorian stares wide-eyed at him and shakes his head.
I'm sorry.
Jim's head lolls slightly to one side. Night. Dorian is at the Wootons' front door. Inside, Emily joins the soaking wet Dorian in a sitting room.
Mr. Gray.
He turns meekly towards her.
Miss Wooton. Please forgive my intrusion. This late hour.
In a nightdress and dressing gown, she walks over to him and rubs his arms.
Reeking. Look, come sit by the fire.
I want to tell you everything.
He sinks to the floor. She crouches down and comforts him.
I need you to know. What?
He grips onto her tightly. He closes his eyes and seems asleep. She kisses his forehead. His cheek resting on the palm of her hand, Dorian falls asleep. Morning. Harry stands silhouetted in the doorway. In front of the fire, he sees Emily and Dorian asleep side by side on the floor. Dorian wakes and stares at Emily. He looks all around, then spots his old mentor.
Harry.
Harry turns and walks away. Emily stirs. Despite the wind, Harry sits outside in his smoking jacket. Emily marches out towards him, Dorian a little way behind.
Morning.
Sleep well.
Mr. Gray was in need of a friend.
Perhaps you could ask Mrs. Williams to prepare me some breakfast.
Course.
She goes inside. Dorian, his hair ruffled by the wind, glances away from Harry.
So young.
Dorian turns to look at him.
The world is hers.
Harry,
how dare you? She's my daughter.
I've changed.
You've changed. But you don't change, do you, Dorian? Why is that?
Harry, you're my oldest
friend.
You're
against nature. You stay away from her.
I don't want this to
get... Stay away from her!
Dorian's hair is blown over his face by the wind. His jaw is set firm and his gaze is unwavering. Emily comes to the door behind Harry. Dorian sees her and walks off the terrace.
Mr. Gray.
Emily runs down steps to him.
I should apologize for my father.
She moves round to stand in front of him.
Last night, you wanted to tell me something.
He makes to walk past her.
Dorian.
I want to begin again. Far away from everything here.
She nods.
I see well. I wouldn't.
Everything except you.
They gaze at each other with great intensity. Dorian lowers his eyes and sweeps past her. Emily is still. Then she swings round to him.
Dorian!
She smiles sweetly. Harry's in his study. He searches through a drawer and finds an old photograph of himself with Dorian and Basil. He sets it down on a table with others. He compares the one Emily took of Dorian and himself at his house with the one taken at the unveiling of the picture at Dorian's. The tear in the eye.
Yes.
Harry studies the photograph with the picture behind them.
Are you sure this is what you want?
Dorian sits at home. Emily is astride him.
You're what I want.
They're on a sofa in front of the fire. She kisses him and starts to unbutton her blouse. Harry is with a scruffy Victor by a soup kitchen.
As I recall, Mr. Gray stored it in the attic and he certainly wanted to protect it.
On the sofa, the kisses become more passionate. Emily finds his key.
What secrets does he unlock?
Harry buys a key from a locksmith.
Nobody at all need know.
Emily still has hold of the key. Dorian pushes her off him onto the floor. He lies on top of her and starts to behave more roughly towards her. Harry stands outside the house, smoking a cigarette. Dorian's bedroom. He wakes with a start. He looks to his right, then pulls back the covers to see he is alone. The key on its chain is no longer around his neck. He runs upstairs.
Emily! Emily!
She's unlocked the barred gate.
What's the meaning of this?
Sorry.
Don't come up here.
She stares at him.
Please. Never.
Emily fiddles with the key. Dorian holds out his hand.
Give me the key, please, Emily.
What's in there?
Give me the key!
What's in there?
Please. I beg you.
She opens the wooden door. Dorian looks away. Emily stands in the open doorway. She turns to face the picture and her mouth drops open. In a flashback to the image he had of Emily after the concert, he has her pinned to the door, his arm across her throat. The key slips from her grasp. Dorian sits up in bed, the key round his neck, and Emily by his side.
It's imperative it sails with us. It's New York here. I shall wrap it myself, but I'd be grateful if you could send some men to help carry it down. Thank you.
Dorian hangs up a telephone receiver, a man in a coat.
House should fetch a fine price, Mr. Gray. Will you be leaving any of the furnishings?
All of them.
Emily straightens a white bow tie for Dorian.
You know, I think that he wants to make amends. We owe him the benefit of the doubt.
Doors open on a surprise party.
Well, I couldn't let you go after that ghastly continent without a farewell.
Oh. Harry smiles and shakes Dorian's hand. Emily kisses her father's cheek.
Come. I hear you sail at dawn. How romantic. Oh, to be young again.
Easily done. Can you recall any great errors you made in your early days?
Very many. Much clarity.
Then commit them over again. To get back one's youth, one merely has to repeat one's follies. Or you could barter your soul.
Dorian turns and sees a grotesque face reflected in a tray. It's his.
Right. Clumsy. Sorry, excuse me.
Dorian studies his reflection in a mirror. It's of his own unblemished looks. He drinks from a small bottle. He looks out of a window and sees Harry climb into a car. Dorian looks thoughtful. Rejoining the guests, he surveys the room, then approaches Emily.
Sorry, darling. Have you seen Harry?
No. But look what you dug out. You never told me there was a painting of you. Where is it?
A look of horror crosses Dorian's face. He runs out of the house and sprints down a set of steps as a group of soldiers walk up. The car with Harry, and it speeds towards Dorian's house as Dorian does the same on foot. Both men are now sprinting, Dorian along a street, Harry up the stairs. Harry enters the attic as Dorian races into the house. The attic door shuts. Harry lights a lamp and, picking up a knife, steps towards the picture. He cuts a rope binding.
Harry?
Dorian's in the doorway.
I want to see it.
See what?
Basil's picture.
Basil's picture was destroyed years ago.
Dorian steps into the attic.
I never liked it.
Harry grabs Dorian's sword.
Show me. It's an old portrait of my grandfather.
Dorian turns to find the point of the sword at his throat.
Show me.
Would you really kill me, Harry? You taught me that a man can rule his emotions. But I can't. I can't help that I love your daughter more than I've loved anything in my entire life. And I can't help how dear I still hold our friendship. Please. Please don't do this.
Harry lowers the blade. Dorian smiles.
You stole trinkets, Harry. Why don't we go back to the party?
Harry's eyes light on Basil's scarf in a box. He lifts it up with the sword and sees the blood on it.
Harry.
Movement from the picture startles Harry.
What are you?
I am what you made me. I lived the life that you preached, but never dared practice. I am everything that you were too afraid to be.
Harry raises the sword again. Dorian yanks it from him.
But I was trying. I was trying so hard to be a better man. I'm sorry.
He grabs Harry by the throat and starts to throttle him. Harry sinks to his knees. He reaches up to Dorian's face. The picture trembles.
You're so right. You're dead.
Emily returns to the house.
Dorian? Dorian!
Hearing her, he relaxes his grip. Harry grabs the sword and clubs Dorian with the hilt. Dorian falls to the floor. Harry rushes to the painting and starts to remove the cover over it. Dorian sees him.
Harry, no!
Dorian stares past Harry at the picture. Harry slowly turns to look at it. The face is grotesque, the skin marked, the scalp bald. Light seems to radiate around Harry. The picture growls and moves. No! Harry throws the lamp at the picture. It catches fire on the figure and it recoils as if in pain. Harry runs out of the attic and locks the gate. He tears a gas lamp off the wall and tosses it down before racing down the stairs. Gas pours out of the wall for him. The figure in the picture glares at Dorian on the stairs.
Come on,
what are you doing? Where's Dorian? Dorian?
She sees him through the bars.
Oh, everybody! No, leave her!
No!
Dorian?
She pushes her father away.
Give me the key. Look, give me the key.
They stare through the bars. The picture.
What's in there? What's in there?
You have my whole heart, Emily.
Leave her!
My whole heart. Emily, I beg you.
Harry tries to pull her from the bars. Dorian unloops her fingers from them.
Dorian!
Harry hauls her away. Dorian, a trace of blood on his forehead, re-enters the attic.
Dorian!
He picks up his sword, strides over to the picture and plunges the sword into the figure's chest. The figure seems to come to life. It becomes three-dimensional. Saws start to appear on Dorian's face. He keeps pressure on the sword, and the figure in the picture leans out towards him. Dorian spins away from him and buries his head in his hands. When he removes them, his face has become like the one in the picture. He returns to the picture and plunges the sword deep into the figure. Harry pushes Emily away from the flames, now shooting down the attic stairway. Flames engulf the now grotesque Dorian. Blackness. Harry is at home on the telephone.
I'm still her father, Agatha. And I'm merely asking that you tell her that I miss her and that this will always be her home. And maybe one day she'll want to listen.
The right side of Harry's face is scarred. He sets down the telephone and picks up a cigarette. He walks away from the window. The attic of Dorian's house. The door opens and Harry walks in, using a cane as a support. He stops and stares.
Poor boy. Who can bear to look at you now?
He gazes at the picture of Dorian Gray as it was when Basil painted it. Despite the dark, the white shirt lightens the painting. The face of Dorian remains unblemished. His eyes sparkle and his look is serene. ITFC audio description by James O'Hara.